Welcome to this space of worship today at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. We are so happy to have you all here. Welcome. To start off today, we are going to be singing from the Blue Hymnal at number 50.
In the blue song folders?
Call
to worship.
Sorry about that. I recently had the great fortune to go to Crooked Creek Christian Camp in Washington, Iowa, and serve as their camp pastor. And their theme was rootin' for peace. And so I spoke all week about peace, and so I have peace on the mind. And so as we enter into this space of worship, and as we prepare our hearts to hear a sermon about choices, I invite all of us to open our hearts to make choices toward peace in this time, of sort of craziness going on in our world around us. And so may we choose peace in our actions, in our lives, and in our interactions with each other. And may God's peace sanctify us in our everyday living. Thanks. Now in your song folder, 926, Come All You People.
Bulletins. New every morning is thy love. You're going to sing this hymn. We'll sing the first three verses. In the blue hymnal, number 412, we shall walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We shall walk through the valley in peace. And if Jesus himself will be our leader, we shall walk through the valley in peace.
Thank you.
For a time of confession today, I must confess that sometimes when I experience crazy things in life and in the world, I write about them. And so I have written something sort of to reflect on recent events in our nation. I also confess that I don't have a printer at home, so I'll be reading it from my phone. So if you see me squinting, that is why. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be children of God. God, where are your children today? When I look around, I'm not sure I can see those who are attempting to make peace. God, I confess that I am no longer shocked when I hear the words terrorist attack, mass shooting, or police killing stream across my screen. I confess that I have become accustomed to the senseless acts of violence that have become a commonplace in our world. I confess that it is only July and I have already lost count of the amount of lives that have been lost in this year alone. I confess that my prayers have become short and hollow. How many more times must I pray before this turmoil comes to an end and we finally have peace? I ask that you would continue to stir in me a righteous anger for the lives that have been cut far too short because of hate, an anger to seek change. Help me to seek justice for those who have none. May we knock down the barriers of hatred and fear that feign safety but only promote more violence. Where are your peacemakers, God, when a broken taillight becomes a crime punishable by death, when the only real crime is seemingly living while black? Why are our differences that which tears us apart and pits us against each other? I confess that I, too, have been guilty of this. Lord, have mercy. How can we say that guns could possibly be the answer? God, where are your children? I ask for justice for those who are shot down while dancing in the only sanctuary and safe space that they have ever known, lives cut too short simply for being different. I seek justice for those who are killed for no reason other than our fear of difference, our fear that they may somehow cause us harm, and so we must first eliminate the threat. I ask for your peacemakers to be made known in this tumultuous time of unrest, and I seek your peace as we live in a world riddled with fear, hatred, and darkness. We seek courage and strength on this journey of working toward making peace. Can you hear us knocking? Blessed are the victims of senseless violence. May they finally be at peace. And now for the words of assurance, please stand and hear these words. Just as Christ lived a life teaching us to live in a different and more peaceful way, may we share that peace with each other, saying, may the peace of Christ be with you, and responding, our scripture today is from Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened.
Mateo 7, 7 a 8. Pidan, y se les dará. Busquen y encontrarán, llamen y se les abrirá. Porque todo aquel que pide, recibe, y el que busca, encuentra, y al que llama, se le abre.
The word of the Lord.
La palabra del Señor.
Gracias. We are most fortunate today to have Mary Beiler with us as our guest preacher. She is a missionary serving in Japan and has been there for the last 42 years. She works with Mennonite Mission Network, and her work involves accompanying the Mennonite congregations of Hokkaido, where she teaches, preaches, leads music, and serves on several conference committees. Welcome, Mary. Would you pray with us, please? God, thank you for your servant, Mary, and the great mission that she has in Japan. Thank you for her safe travels here, and that we may be most fortunate to hear the words that she has prepared for us and the stories that she will share with us today. Thank you, God, for Mary, and we ask that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear the message that she has prepared for us. Amen. Mary, there's a water under here if you would like it.
I'm happy to be here this morning. I've been in the U.S. 10 days now, and I'm getting adjusted, but there are some things that I just don't get adjusted to. So this is the first congregation in which I'm speaking, and it's fortunate for me that it's a congregation in which I feel at home. In Japan, on Sunday mornings, I don't have to worry about which shoes I should wear and how long my sermon is going to be. I'm sure I've said this before, but in Japan, we take off our shoes when we go into church and we wear slippers inside. So we can wear any old shoes on the way to church. Also, in Japan, trains and buses run on schedule, but worship services do not. It seems to be the opposite in the United States. But enough of that. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, the way to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Do you recognize what I have just read as words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount? It's from Eugene Peterson's The Message translation. The narrow gate passage that follows shortly after the ask, search, knock passage just read for us. From the New Revised Standard Version, it reads, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." This morning, I want to think with you about the choices in our Christian lives. In particular, I want to share with you some of the choices and challenges facing Christians and not yet Christians in Japan, while asking you to think about your own choices and challenges. In the Believer's Church tradition, we speak of coming to faith and choosing baptism freely as adults. Was your choice of baptism free? Was it informed? Did you ever feel that the gate to Christian faith was narrow? Was choosing baptism difficult for you? Did you run across any barriers on the way to baptism, and are you encountering any barriers to your Christian faith now? Have you experienced, or are you experiencing, that the road is hard? Japanese Christians would answer many of these questions in the affirmative. I was partly inspired to take up this topic of narrow gates and hard roads hearing the women in the Friday Koinonia Bible study at Obihiro Mennonite Church talking one morning about the Christian way really being a lonely choice and continuing to be a lonely walk for them. All of them are the only Christians in their families. So they have no Christian support at home, even if family members tolerate their church attendance and activities. Here in the U.S., active Christians may no longer be in the majority, but Christianity is still a major religion, and most of us have support within our own families, at work, and in social circles, in addition to the culture at large. The situation is very different in Japan, where the number of Christians hovers at 1% or less of the population. It may be hard, if not impossible, for you to imagine what it is like to live out Christian faith as a minority. Actually, active religious faith of any kind, whether Christian, Buddhist, or Shinto, is rare in Japan, with religion saved for special occasions and for marking various life passages, such as when children turn ages 3, 5, and 7, for example, or when buying a new car. Also, it is not necessary to choose either Shinto or Buddhism, with both incorporated as the occasion demands, a Shinto wedding or a Christian one for that matter, but a Buddhist funeral. As for negotiating the stresses of everyday life, most Japanese don't particularly perceive of the need for a higher power outside of themselves. In the ask, search, knock verses, Jesus invites us to turn to God with all of our needs. For Japanese not yet Christians, the initial need is to sense that there is even a need to need, to recognize that there is even a God of real power to turn to in good times and bad. Thus, even to become aware of the need to ask, the need to search, the need to knock, to choose to ask, search, and knock is a crucial step toward Christian faith in Japan. Various expressions convey the difficulty of taking this first step. Jesus used the twin metaphors of the narrow gate and the hard road. In a parallel passage, the Gospel of Luke uses door. Interestingly enough, the phrase the narrow gate, in an old-fashioned expression akin to the straight gate, has been adopted into the Japanese language to refer to the extreme competition to pass the difficult entrance examination to get into a top-rate university. Success with such an exam grants entrance into elite circles and access to good job prospects. Certainly not what Jesus was promising. Many Japanese people use the expression the narrow gate without realizing that the words come from Jesus. But whether thinking about university entrance or entrance into Christian faith, in Japan, the gate is indeed perceived to be narrow. Again, I ask you, has your way to faith and within faith been narrow or wide, hard or easy? Something else that relates to the entrance exam connection to the narrow gate is the perception that entering Christian faith, too, is a kind of entrance exam procedure. Whether consciously or not, many Japanese seem to think that they have to reach a certain amount of Bible knowledge to grasp a certain level of faith, if you will, before they can ask for baptism. But passing through the gate, being baptized, is not a graduation, but rather a landmark along the long journey of the Christian way. I make every effort to convey in my teaching and preaching, and to show as I am able in my own life, that the Christian walk is ongoing. Baptism is not an end, a finish. Baptism doesn't mean knowing everything about Christian faith already. Baptism doesn't mean that we stop asking, searching, knocking. Another expression about entering in Japanese language and culture is the nijiriguchi, or crawling in entrance of a tea ceremony room. As you may or may not remember, I have studied the Japanese art of tea ceremony for many decades. When we hold a formal tea ceremony, the tea room is entered through a small square door about 25 inches high and wide called the Nijiriguchi, or crawling in entrance, which requires bending low to pass through. Even though I have done this many times and I know that I have to bend really low and to stay low long enough to crawl through successfully, I have bonked my head many a time because I did not bow low long enough. Symbolically, the crawling in entrance separates the small, simple, quiet inside world from the crowded, overwhelming outside world. What about our Christian lives? Does anything separate us from the world at large? Is such a separation desirable? Did you need to leave anything behind when you came to faith? Are there things even now that we should leave behind in order to be in the world of faith? Is any so-called crawling in involved for us in attending worship or Bible study or prayer groups? For me, remembering about hitting my head like that makes me think about ways in which I am not willing to be humble enough. Ways in which I am not willing to lower myself enough, or simply times when I am not willing to leave other thoughts, stresses, and worries aside when I should be praising God or praying, when I should be listening to God's word or paying attention to a Christian sister or brother, but rather I am attending to my own concerns. What about you? Do you think you could crawl through the Nijiriguchi safely? In Japan, high threshold is another expression that has been used to convey the existence of barriers and obstacles to faith. Of course, churches now have so-called barrier-free entrances, but in traditional Japanese architecture, there was a step up to enter inner space. Have you ever experienced that the threshold into the church is high? For Japanese seekers, the threshold, even in 2016, is still quite high. I have written to you about a woman who started coming to Obihiro Mennonite Church last fall. She continues to attend faithfully. She lives in the neighborhood of the church, so she had long been aware of its existence. She also saw the church listed at the end of an early Sunday morning Christian television program, so she knew that it was a legitimate place. Even so, she said it took her several years to gather up the courage to step inside. Several years. Such a high threshold. As soon as she came in and saw me, she recognized that she had seen me shopping at the neighborhood supermarket all those years. She realized that the people inside the church are just normal people. I found that I had two copies of the Japanese translation of the Living Bible on my shelves, so I gave her one. The next time she saw me, she exclaimed, "Thank you for the new Bible. It's so interesting. It's so easy to understand. I've read through whole books." There may be various evaluations of the Living Bible translation, but for a newcomer to the Bible, it provides a good way to get an overall view without getting so bogged down in the special Christian expressions, of which there are so many in standard Japanese Bible translations. Initial Bible reading is a formidable task for not yet Christians. Speaking of Japanese Bible translations, the Living Bible came out with a new translation this year, and two standard Japanese translations will publish revisions in 2017 and 2018. Managing that initial high step, the narrow gate to get inside the church and to take up reading the Bible, doesn't mean instantaneous faith. It is not easy to mature in Christian faith coming out of a background with traditions so different. The woman who started attending last fall is coming faithfully and reading the Bible eagerly. She is asking, searching, knocking. She found the door to be open. She is receiving answers, but she hasn't yet come to faith. I may or may not see that happen in my final 3 years in Japan. I have the privilege of walking with a number of not yet Christians. At Tottori Mennonite Church in Kushiro, I have seen one such seeker gain confidence and open herself up to Christian fellowship. For years, she attended worship but left immediately afterward without talking to anyone. However, more recently, she usually stays for tea time or the meal if there is one, and she even contributes to discussions. I do not know the barriers to faith remaining for her and in her heart, but I have seen that she has gradually been opening up and that she has kept on asking, searching, knocking. Jesus spoke of the door opening when we knock. The two women I have told you about have had different doors opened in the first place and still have further doors to be opened. Doors to worship and fellowship with other Christians. Doors of scriptural understanding. Doors into their own hearts. But so do we all. Each one of us has further asking and searching and knocking to do. We are never finished. The Greek word translated find in verses 7 and 8 and again in verse 14, as with the English word find, also gives a chance to think about challenges to faith in Japan. We use to find to mean both to search for, to look for, to inquire, to examine, in other words, to get something through a deliberate process, to come upon something after searching, as well as to mean to run across something by chance without having particularly searched for it. But the finding Jesus is speaking of here is the result of conscious search, not just something run across or stumbled across by accident. In Japan, coming to faith is hardly ever a natural turn of events or a smooth process. For most Japanese Christians, coming to faith usually follows an extensive search, as opposed to a quick process through some single event or conversion experience or by growing into adult faith out of childhood church and Christian family experience. Growing up in a Christian environment within a church-going family is not a bad thing. I myself, for example, cannot remember ever not knowing and being known by God, although I do remember asking for baptism and church membership. But my Japanese sisters and brothers have clear before and after memories of not knowing God and now knowing God. I have learned so much from them as I hear them tell of their choices of faith. They can state clearly how they have changed. What about you? As find in our scripture passage today suggests, steps toward faith in Japan are not spur-of-the-moment decisions or serendipitous happenstances, but rather deliberate, critical choices. The mindful asking, diligent searching, and faithful knocking of not-yet Christians can remind already Christians to keep on asking, keep on searching, and keep on knocking, as all of us continue to make good choices that lead to authentic life. Knocking at the right doors and summoning the courage to open and go through such doors leads to faith and deepens faith. The grace of God, the companionship of Jesus, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit help us to make such choices, to take such steps. Choosing to ask, choosing to search, choosing to knock are deliberate acts toward faith and ways to express ongoing faith. Continuing to make clear choices, good choices, faithful choices is the walk of faith that Jesus introduced with the words about asking, searching, knocking, and in the teaching about entering through the narrow gate and walking the hard road. After having found the right way, it is critical to decide to follow and to continue to make the choices of obedience. Finally, before I sit down, I want to thank you for your faithful financial support through Mennonite Mission Network as well as prayer support and various forms of communication that helped to keep me going in Japan with the Mennonite churches of Hokkaido. I now have only a final 3-year term left, but the work is ongoing and would never be completed no matter how many years I would have left. Pray that I can serve faithfully in good health and good spirits in these final 3 years. I would like to read verses 4 and 5 of the hymn that we sang earlier as my closing prayer. New every morning is thy love, verses 4 and 5. The trivial round, the common task will furnish all we ought to ask. Room to deny ourselves, a road to bring us daily nearer God. Only, O Lord, in thy dear love, fit us for perfect rest above, and help us this and every day to live more nearly as we pray. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals to 506, 506. Let's stand, those who are able, please.
This is Pastor Nelson, and as you have picked up, if you're a visitor, we're starting some renovation projects in our building this week. This has to do with the fellowship hall down below. It involves renovated bathrooms, kitchen, expanded fellowship space, skylights, just some changes in that fellowship space. There is a renovation committee that has worked on this, planning this. And while I'm speaking, I invite the renovation committee, please just come and stand across the front. If you've been involved at all in that, please come forward now. You're going to help lead the procession on out to the, but come right up to the front here. And after the benediction, after we will sing a final song and then we'll benediction. After the benediction, we are all invited outside, and suggesting that we keep any visiting that we want to do, just move that right on out through the hallways. We'll go down through the fellowship hall, and we're going to go outside, and you'll see on the ground the footprint marked of where a bit of expansion will be, and then the whole renovated space. So we're going to gather around the perimeter of that. We'll take a picture or two with the renovation committee with a shovel. Is Matt Van Soest here? He was expected someone from ANCON. He's not here yet. Okay, he hasn't arrived, but the architect was interested. What's that? So Orion is part of the team, too, so he'll be on his way. And by the way, let's just keep the sound system on so we have that for Sunday school class. Right after the service, this team will lead the way, and we'll go right on out, right through the fellowship hall to the outside, and we'll have a short ceremony out there of blessing and a song, and then you can come on in and get your coffee.
The Lord lift you up. Let's stand.
Dear friends, this week may you choose to honor God with all of your life. May you choose to respond to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. May you choose to follow Jesus this week and always. And all God's people say amen. Come, we that love the Lord. Let's. If you need any words for that, it's number 14 in the hymnal. We'll sing that as we go out, as many verses as we can do. Renovation team, at a pace we can keep up with you, lead the way.